Okay, so usually I start with an acknowledgement that we are gathering on the traditional unceded territory of the Coast Salish people, and in particular, the Qualicum First Nation. So I would make that acknowledgement with gratitude. And we'll go to adoption of the agenda. So we have a mover and a seconder for that.
Hello.
And then Karen. Great. All those in favor? Okay, we'll assume Doug in. Okay, carried. And then approval of the minutes from the June 20th. Hopefully everyone had a chance to read those over. We have a mover and a seconder or any changes?
So moved.
Okay, great. Seconder? Greg? Perfect. And all those in favor? Perfect. Okay, those are carried. So business arising from the minutes is essentially the direction that we've been working on for the last umpteen meetings. So that I guess we will carry on the recommendations from council. I think we'll do that, and then the other ones we can gloss over later. So we are working on drafting recommendations to council on which areas of a community climate change adaptation plan should be prioritized and provide suggestions on how best to advance the town's goals and objectives in alignment with the town's sustainability plan. So Bernadette and Luke were so kind as to go through the minutes and summarize the different objectives that we had covered, objective 2, 3, 5, 6, and 9. So in speaking with Luke, we thought perhaps what we'll do is go through some of these and pick out recommendations. And once we have a list of recommendations, then we'll look at prioritizing from there. So anyway, I'm going to turn it over to Luke to kind of lead the discussion on where we've come. And yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Councillor Skipsy. So when we were reviewing the documents earlier, we realized that we have a lot of ground to cover fairly quickly, because our challenge for today is taking the summaries of the discussions that we've had over the last 5 meetings and translating those into recommendations that we can make to council. So we may not have time to polish and perfect all of this in this meeting, so the process we're thinking of is go through, you know, hit each of those items one at a time, identify whether it's a priority that we should focus on and turn into a recommendation. So then that'll be the outcome of this meeting. It's a whole list of possible recommendations that we could make to council. Then next meeting, so that'll probably be the September meeting, we're thinking, we will try to prioritize that into a discrete list of recommendations for council. Because that was the direction, was that we were supposed to go away, take all these goals and objectives and prioritize them for council. So that's the process. And I'm assuming that you all got it, but Bernadette emailed this document to you, I believe, and it was all the minutes from all the recent meetings along with the summary. Does everyone have that document?
Yep.
Okay. Well, perfect. So why don't we start at the beginning and we'll just kind of see how it goes. And like I said, we have a lot of ground to cover. So rather than rehashing discussions, maybe just, you know, reflect, make sure you're clear on what the discussion was. And then if you think it's a priority, you know, please let us know. And so then we can try to formulate that into a recommendation. So
Lou,
yes,
I have a question. what will be the status of the overall plan? The CCCAP, in terms of our recommendations and so on. Is the whole plan accepted first, and then the Recommendations Act as sort of amendments to that plan, or what's that process so that we have an understanding of the flow?
Sure. Well, that's an interesting question. So originally the process would have been that, you know, council receives it, right? And that's, but now we're kind of in a unique position that we could possibly not only get it, have council receive it, but maybe receive it and identify priorities for action. So maybe there might even be some shifting around inside the plan before council adopts it. You know what I mean? So, so that the input that the committee is providing now might actually shape the plan, and there might be some refinements before they actually move it forward.
Right.
I see Doug has his hand raised. Doug? Is there anyone from Lyskidi Island that wishes to speak?
That he's muted.
Sorry, I was on mute. My apologies. Are you hearing me now?
Yeah,
my apologies. So I think this kind of follows from the point that David was making. Back in 2021, we commented on the plan as a whole with suggestions that while the plan has a lot of good things going for it, there were some areas that really needed to be added to the plan rather than simply pulling priorities out of the plan. And so I'm a little concerned that if our process now is to go through the plan and prioritize things that are in the plan, are we going to miss those points that several of the committee members identified should be amendments to the plan or additions to the plan? I'm particularly thinking of the point that both David and I raised, that the priority has to be recognizing limits to adaptation and focusing on mitigation rather than adaptation. I will feel we'll be doing council a severe disservice if we don't put front and center the message that we are heading towards a degree of climate change to which adaptation is effectively impossible, and it is essential that meaningful action on climate begins with mitigation, that is, reducing greenhouse gas emissions and other factors that contribute to climate change, and only secondarily trying to adapt to climate change.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel very strongly that that needs to be the number one message that goes back to council, and I'm certainly happy to work through the process that you've outlined, Luke, and to try to do so efficiently as possible. If that other headline can also be included in what we send to council.
Sure. So, I mean, I'll just briefly share my perspective on that. So there's climate change adaptation, and there's climate change mitigation, right? Adaptation means responding to the things that we can't avoid, and, of course, mitigation is trying to avoid as much of these impacts as possible through things like greenhouse gas reduction. The adaptation plan itself doesn't really even touch on the mitigation side, because that's not the purpose of the plan. So I think that there's going to have to be, you know, a commitment on the part of the town, a complementary commitment to mitigation, and it might be in the form of the sustainability action plan, might be in some other form, but I don't think this is the document, right? So Doug, I agree with you, and I think that can be a clear message going back, but I wouldn't confuse the adaptation plan by putting mitigation into it. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I hear what you're saying. I'm not saying that we should go through detail, in any detail, what the mitigation measures are. It's simply, you know, your point is there's mitigation, adaptation. Mitigation is, when you think of the sinking of the Titanic, mitigation is not hitting the iceberg. Adaptation is getting into the lifeboats.
Mm-hmm.
So why would we have a plan about getting into the lifeboats and not be talking about avoiding the iceberg? That's the scientific consensus now is that there is no possibility of building enough lifeboats and getting them implemented in time that everybody's life is going to be safe if we hit the iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you read the literature that's coming out now, including the IPCC reports, they're saying the limits to adaptation, and that includes the hard limits, not just the soft limits. Soft limits being the things we are not currently, don't have the budgets to do, but in theory could do. Hard limits is things that even if we had unlimited resources and budget, we could not do.
Mm-hmm.
So I really feel that I totally agree with you. This is not the place to talk in detail about what mitigation consists of or what measures mitigation should be done, but we need to make it clear to the council that they are wasting their time having an adaptation plan if they don't also have a mitigation plan.
Okay, fair enough. So here's what I suggest. Why don't we go through all the adaptation stuff, Doug, and then maybe at the next meeting we can figure out how to convey that message to council in as it accompanies all the recommendations. So
I'm happy with that. Thank you.
Okay, so we'll just kind of park that to the side. We will come back to it in the next meeting. Does that work for you?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay.
Luke, can I just add that there may be some things like this that come up through the discussion, and even when you and I chatted earlier, we talked a little bit about maybe there's themes that are through the whole discussion, through multiple resolutions that should maybe be prioritized or highlighted for council as well. And there is actually on page 10 of the plan, there's adaptation versus mitigation, and a little bit about that conversation.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe Doug, you want to look at that and see if there's a recommendation for a statement or something that could be stronger. Or just a resolution to council that that's asking them to commit to mitigation. But anyway. We can discuss later, as you say. We'll park it for now.
All right. So we're never going to make it through if we don't get started. So the first thing we dealt with was objective 2, continue long-term planning for sea level rise in alignment with the waterfront master plan. And so the discussion points here that are actionable were public education, and I'm paraphrasing, so if you have the document in front of you, look at it, public education, public engagement around the waterfront master plan focusing on new residents and a refresher for existing residents, monitoring for tracking sea level rise and making informed decisions, and then regulating development on the waterfront. So of those, which of those would you like to pull out as priority items to make recommendations to council? Okay.
Well,
and I apologize if you're making hand gestures or things like that. I often have another document pulled up, so I may not see it. So if I'm not giving you due attention, just speak. That goes for you too, Doug. I can't see your hands.
Greg, do you want to jump in?
Yeah, I guess just more of a question here. From my recollection of the meeting, I sort of thought that all four of those were kind of priorities from the committee that we would recommend. Were you trying to sort of limit it a bit to, you know, one or two per category, or what was the intention here?
Well, you're right that this one's actually pretty streamlined already. So if you're hearing this and you're saying we want all that stuff, then why don't we just say that for now and we'll go on to the next one. We're going to, I think we're going to kind of learn as we go here because there's so much to go through. So
I have one thing to ask about that. Sorry, I'm just going to jump in the quiet there for a second. In terms of monitoring and mapping, is that something we need to, and forgive me if I sound like I don't know what I'm talking about here, because I don't. Is that something that the town should be taking the initiative on doing, or is that information that we get from somewhere else? Like, is that, like, how much of an effort is required for the town to satisfy that particular item if we put it in as a priority?
I think that would be almost completely the town, because there are some regional efforts in the area, but we found that they don't give us the level of detail or the result that we're really looking for. So it's probably a town action.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to say all those
are
important for now. In terms of making this into a recommendation, I'd probably take off some of the details about regulating just to make it streamlined, but we'll deal with that later. Okay, next one is objective 3, promote and expand the use of low-impact development and nature-based solutions. So there were some here that weren't part of recommendations, but then, hold on, I'm confused. Oh yeah, here we go. So these were already kind of formulated into recommendations,
mm-hmm.
right? So we have the Green Laneways Report, incorporating the principles of that and doing a review of laneways, that we look into legal mechanisms, including incentives, bonds, or other methods to promote the incorporation of low-impact development. This third one here has the Green Laneways Project and also the Urban Forest Management Plan. Does anyone remember what the connection was there?
I think it was just that both of them were talking about sort of cover requirements for, you know, space for trees.
Okay. So the second one is like all about legal mechanisms. And then the third one is about incorporating it into planning. Right? And then the fourth one there is about public education. So we're seeing public education come back up. Right?
Right.
Like Councilor Skipsy said, like maybe there's threads that are going to
Yeah.
combine multiple categories here, right? Because we're already seeing the public education come up again.
Yeah.
So,
Luke, I would suggest that maybe the where we should start, and what would sort of inject a bit of urgency into all of this, is looking at number two as the number one priority, looking at what legal mechanisms and incentives and landscape bonds and so on there are. And then sort of secondary to that, you know, have the greenways, the green laneways project sort of kind of underpinning that.
Hmm.
And then all, at the same time, combine the public education with examples of development of its desired performance objective and might feature examples.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess what I was hearing from you there is that the, like, understanding the tools is important regardless of whether it's
yeah.
being applied to the green laneways or to low-impact development or
yes.
where
yes. exactly.
Right.
It's sort of overarching.
It's an overarching connection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So do we know if the, because we talked about the review of laneways to be brought forward by the end of 2022, is that
mm-hmm.
still in the works? Is that something that's going to happen?
I don't know if it has any resources behind it right now, so so I'm not sure to what extent. I mean, I think we were going to bring forward a report for discussion at some point, right? Am I remembering that correctly?
I think there was direction from council about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at the motion, but certainly there's not a lot of resources behind that right now. So, oh, that's right. It was in conjunction with the Blackberries. Ah, it's all coming back to me. There's the Blackberries, and then we had the request to review laneways overall. Okay.
Yeah.
It will be done, but I don't know if, you know, what the scope or timeline is right now. So. Next one, objective five, we have investigate the purchase of the gas station that sits on top of the Little Qualcomm Aquifer, purchase Hamilton Marsh, build partnerships with experienced watershed managers, and promote Qualcomm Beach's high-quality tap water. So, purchasing Hamilton Marsh, that's like a discrete project.
Yeah. Well, it is on already in the goals and objectives, I think, listed there.
Partnerships, that's kind of universal in a lot of ways. And then promoting the high-quality tap water. I almost see that as education, you know, right? The promoting the high quality tap water.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's the thread there. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, because maybe people don't know.
I think it's working with other organizations on that to help educate.
Right.
I think the other thing to mention here is just to really emphasize to continue working with the RDN on that drinking water and watership protection program they have. Because that seems to me to be very well organized and quite comprehensive and a good thing to piggyback on, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a fair bit of resources behind it.
Yeah.
So it's definitely continuing along.
I can just add a thought there.
Sure.
I think all four of these things, if our goal here is to come up with a more streamlined set of recommendations that will be focused for council, because if you give people too many things to do, it's hard to do any of them. So the two with respect to purchasing land, I was going to bring up the idea of purchasing the gas station. Bob said it's on our radar, we're aware of it. So I don't want to be making recommendations to do stuff that staff are already well aware of and they're handling. I don't think that's a good use of the committee's time, and it's kind of a little bit maybe disrespectful to the process that staff already know something is an issue and are have it on their radar. So I'd be happy for that not to appear as a recommendation to council. Unless, Bob, in your wisdom, you think maybe it should. And also purchase Hamilton Marsh. That was brought up with the thinking that perhaps Hamilton Marsh was critical to feeding some of the aquifers like the Berwick or the Mulaqualicum Aquifer. But the information we got is that Hamilton Marsh feeds pretty directly into French Creek. So certainly as a piece of habitat, Hamilton Marsh is great, and the purchase could be a good idea. That recommendation does not really directly flow from the mandate we've been given around climate change adaptation, to my way of thinking. So I don't want to say that it's not an important thing to do, but it isn't terribly relevant to what we're talking about here. The partnerships with experienced watershed managers, well, we saw really clear evidence in the presentation. We got that those partnerships are there and they're working.
Right.
Again, that's my take on it anyhow, unless Bob, you want to say otherwise. So it really comes down to just a quick thing of just letting people in Qualica Beach know that we have a good drinking water system. It's safe to drink. You don't have to buy bottled water. And we should make sure we are keeping it as a priority to keep that system running. That's my take on it anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to that.
Can I just raise something that goes back to the actual objective in the plan, and that is Action 5.2, producing evaluation in accounting terms for local watersheds, water retention, et cetera, et cetera. Where did that go? How did we... It seems to have dropped. I mean, maybe a lot of this discussion happened before I came on board, and so that's why I don't know. But it's not reflected in any of these four. So are we just moving on from that? Because valuing natural systems and is a key part of other parts of the plan, and it's mentioned several times in the plan, and I don't want to lose sight of the possibility that in accounting terms we start valuing some of these things so that we...
Right.
Right.
So you're talking about like a natural assets...
Yeah.
...valuation.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you were at the meeting when we dealt with this one, but...
It may have been the very first meeting, I think. Is that the one where there was presentations from...
That's right.
And so I don't recall how this particular action item got dealt with in that meeting. And so maybe
Well, why don't we add that on for now, right? And then we can, because I think we're also identifying potential gaps as we go through these. Like,
right.
Hold on a sec, we forgot about covering X, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just going to flag that as a potential, to craft a recommendation around. I mean, it already has a really strong policy foundation in terms of the official community plan and the asset management plan. Like, so it's all there, but when it comes to making recommendations on priorities to council, it's more an issue of saying, you really need to pay attention to this.
Right.
You really need to pay attention.
And so, I just don't want to lose sight of that.
Okay.
Like, as we move on to more specific things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just adding that under objective 5 for now.
Okay.
Okay. Objective 6, increase water conservation practices and policies. The only one that we pulled out of that was the public education signs around the different aquifers to raise awareness of chemical use in those areas. So obviously public education is the key component of that one. Any comments on that one? I really think that's, you know, you could broaden that into, you know, just awareness of the natural systems and, you know, but I mean, it is specific to water, so, I think we can work something together on that. I coming out of this and seeing some of the things that are emerging as we go through it, I think we'll be able to make a recommendation on public education with multiple components under it, right?
Right.
Which would be able to give, you know, then we could provide pretty clear directions to, say, a communications person to work on this. Right. Okay, so we'll just flag that for now. Objective 9, integrate climate change thinking into future planning. There's a lot that came up under this one.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have food security, home and small-scale gardens, heat domes, to monitor people. So there's heat domes, but the component specifically was making sure that we're in touch with people so that they don't, you know, they're not isolated in their homes, right, to experience these and difficult times, I guess you could say. Is that how everyone else recalls that one? You know, it's about less people dying in heat domes and they were isolated, right? And then their risk level should be identified as high.
And if I could just jump in, one of the things that struck me as I went through the plan again in the last couple of days was the risk assessment. I forget what page it is. It's fairly early in the document.
22.
Yeah. I think a lot of them need to be adjusted, actually, in light of some of the things that have happened. Already happened. We're not forecasting them to happen. They have actually happened since the document was written. So while we certainly flagged it in objective 9, I think it's throughout, really. The risk assessments are off.
Right.
So I think that's something you should say in some way.
Yeah, I think so also, Jared and Luke, that, I mean, to all intents and purposes, as soon as the report was finished, it was out of date.
Mm-hmm.
Things have moved so quickly. And so we have to be conscious of that the whole time. One thing that I would like to suggest out of all of the items we have under Objective 9, a key thing to me seems to be assign funding for a dedicated person to coordinate all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's too easy for it to be dispersed between departments. I'm not suggesting that there's anything nefarious about that, but things get sort of lost in the shuffle. Either their importance is lost. So we need somebody who can coordinate all of this, keep their fingers on the pulse of what's happening, and keep pushing forward.
I would agree.
That was on my list, too, was budget for this and setting aside some funds.
Yeah.
Can I just raise a thought about that? Something that sometimes happens when a new issue comes to light, if a new position is created to address that, it can work very effectively, but it can also work to isolate and create a silo for that particular issue. For example, if we have a planning department that looks after planning, and if we have an engineering department that looks after engineering, an operations department And over here is the climate and sustainability department. Really, climate change thinking and sustainability needs, as the report says, needs to be integrated into everything. So if there is to be a new position, we need to think carefully about, okay, how will that position integrate with the existing departments and how they carry out their mandate and how information, risk assessments throughout these whole operations of the town are factored into that.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
We don't want to create a silo where climate change thinking is over there and is isolated from, well, for example, planning and operations, for example.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Doug. I think that's a very good point.
Okay, I'm just flagging out into the overarching recommendations because it's not necessarily specific to each one of these objectives.
Okay. I think Greg has his hand up too.
Just a couple things here. One, I would just comment that I do agree with Doug's last comment, but just going back to the topic before that, the priority risks on page 22 there. While I agree there could be some adjustment in the risk values that are assigned, I think the other thing to sort of use this for, if you will, is to, look at the risks that have been identified there, particularly the ones that are, say, medium and high there. And some of those, I think, are things that council can directly impact the amount of or how adaptation works by some of their policies. Others are probably things that are, more sort of global in nature and pretty hard to impact either on the mitigation or adaptation side. But anyways, we could perhaps direct that we focus on the higher risk ones that are, obviously within council's mandate and make sure there's direction to get that incorporated in plans, bylaws, all that sort of stuff.
I'm just making a note of that. I think that's a really good point. Because that does give us a lens to look at these. Is it saying, well, that's high risk, but it's not within the town's mandate, or that's low risk, but it's within the town's mandate. So we're looking for an overlap between those things, like the areas where we can effectively create change and we'll have mitigate an imminent hazard.
Right.
Okay. All right, so we were on number 9, so prioritize food security. Second one's also food security, heat dome, engagement of stakeholder groups to continue advancement of the plan outside of election terms. Oh, I remember. So that one was about, maintaining momentum independent of, say changes in staff or council or whoever that might be. And it's stakeholder groups that tend to drive that continuity, right? So that's kind of a partnership or support for other organizations, right?
I would say continuity and also some accountability in some ways,
Okay. So, Councillor Skip, do you mean accountability in terms of like outside groups hold the town accountable and vice versa? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think if it's outside and you've made those commitments, then it's a little bit harder to sometimes back away from.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Putting up to what you've committed to, right?
Right. Okay.
And it's a great way to build political momentum is by engaging beyond just council and staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. All right. So the next one, we have a pilot approach to the plan where one street is addressed at a time with desired changes. So yeah, I think this one was more on like demonstrating the effectiveness of these various approaches, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's not all high level. We have something to show.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, part of the thinking there was definitely around the right tree, right place, at least on my part,
mm-hmm.
where we recognize that trees are a critical part of counteracting extreme heat in urban environments.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we had some demonstrations of residential neighborhoods where the trees are really performing that function in a kind of a way that you can point to, say, look, this is great, the trees are doing what they're supposed to be doing here to help us adapt to the higher temperatures and keep people safe and comfortable. That would be great.
Doug, I have a question for you on that one. Are there existing neighborhoods that could be pointed to as well? Right, because I think the challenge is, you know, you say, let's come up with this great plan, and then you plant a bunch of trees, but they're still only like 8 feet tall with, you know, 1-inch stems, right? So people are going to be like, that's not impressive. Do we have any areas of town where maybe some of those environmental features are already there that we could point to?
Well, maybe that could be homework for us all to walk around and think about that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a fan of the oaks on Memorial Drive, which is, you know, very much a planting. That's not just something that happens by accident. You drive along that stretch of Memorial and think, oh, this is nice and cool. You feel the temperature difference. So maybe there's other examples that would help us if we can be on the lookout for them.
All right, so I'm just going to add to that one, and so maybe showcasing existing success, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. Implement forward thinking when replacing buildings, especially considering building inspections are one of the areas the town has direct control over. Okay, so this is speaking to green building. Would you say that was focused on town operations, or was that more broad community-based?
It was broader.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, for example, we'd like to see new buildings have heat pumps installed as a matter of course, because they not only are energy efficient, but they also provide cooling as a way of adapting to high temperatures in the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one example. I mentioned my pet peeve with old black roofs, too, which make buildings hotter and quite unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that, yeah, I think we'll reword this one a bit more to give it more of a focus on green building and also making sure it's clear that it's not just municipal functions.
Yeah, the OCP already has good wording about green building.
Mm-hmm.
Is this, could it somehow be brought to the fore within existing documents?
Yeah, I think it needs to be updated, right, because the when a lot of that language was written, you know, LEED was the kind of LEED system in place at the time. And then that was taken over by EnerGuide, right? And so then there's all sorts of different systems. And now it's STEP code. And I think we're going to be with the STEP code for, you know, the next 10 years or so at least. So I think those things need to be updated. There is a good policy foundation, Doug, but it's all kind of out of date. Yeah. Okay, so next one, all staff memos to council to include an environmental impact assessment that acts as a prompt to consider environmental impacts and help inform decisions.
So there was discussion about that and whether that would be effective, and we talked about maybe looking at some best practices, how it's done elsewhere,
mm-hmm.
to determine whether it would be helpful or not.
I think this was one I brought forward, and Luke, you expressed some skepticism as to whether it would be as effective in reality as it
mm-hmm.
sounds on paper, so it needs some more thinking. But obviously the intent was to integrate climate change thinking into all future planning,
right.
But is that the way to do it? I don't know. You perhaps would know better.
Yeah, well, I think the comment earlier that it shouldn't be isolated to a single department, right? You know, the adaptation mitigation isn't a single department thing, right? So if we look at it from that approach is, you know, how do we make sure that it becomes a part of all decision making? And I don't know what that decision making tool is yet. I may have confessed some skepticism just because I've seen a lot of staff reports that do lip service to these areas, and then the primary impact is it just creates more paper.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the last thing that I want. So I definitely want to think a little bit more about this before making a recommendation one way or the other. But the fundamental point for me is that it's not a single department. It's a different way of, you know, approaching it. So maybe it has to do with some of the metrics, like we talked about measuring, you know, when we were back in the sea level rise section, right? So monitoring, maybe it's tied in with monitoring somehow.
Well, what would it take for every time a development proposal, like just for example, we're seeing some significant development proposals around town right now, the East Village and mm-hmm. a couple of fairly major apartment complexes. What would it take for it to be just an accepted fact that everybody understands that you've got to look at building energy efficiency, you've got to look at how these buildings are going to deal with higher temperatures, how these buildings are going to deal with energy conservation, how these buildings are going to deal with water conservation, how these buildings are going to contribute to walkability, how these buildings are not going to contribute to automobile dependence. If it was just understood, and how green building, that is minimizing the embodied carbon going into these buildings, if it was just, everybody understood those were important things that have to be looked after, how would we get to that point?
So are we thinking mostly about developments or other types of decisions?
Developments to do it.
Yeah, in some ways it would be easier to quantify developments than other decisions, right? And so that's where my comments about wasting paper is like, you know, you present a report on, response times for communication or something that's really not related to, you know, climate change adaptation or mitigation. But then you have to include the section in the report just because that's the staff, you know, the town policy. So if it's specific to a type of council report, right, so like development, then there's a more of a clear tie. So maybe you guys, everyone can think about this one. And because I see where it's going and I like where it's going, but I'm not exactly sure the best way to do it right now. So can we leave that with everyone? Think about it. A little bit of homework.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next one. The town assigns funding for a dedicated staff member to enact these plans and keep communication with external partners focused.
We talked about that.
Okay. So
I think
that's more of a governance decision around funding allocation. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely something that would be a recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next one, relook at the sustainability action plan and determine what can be achieved from the plan. And that's another good one. Also, you know, in many ways, a resource issue. And I do think the sustainability action plan needs to be updated, if only from the perspective that some of our metrics, we don't have access to the data. So it's frustrating to, you know, go through it and read. We don't know, right? So maybe we need to rejig that plan towards measurable metrics that we do know, right? And I know that's something that the regional district is also struggling with because they have their regional growth strategy, but a lot of the data that they need is also not easily available. So I see that as potentially tied to that new staff person, because it's almost like the type of thing this person would do, right?
about greenhouse gas emissions, like getting a baseline so that we know where we're at and where we want to go?
Well, we have that, but it's not. The most recent update was 2010. So it's almost laughable, but because the last data set was developed by the province, they had access to things like ICBC data and utility data that we don't have access to. So I know at a regional level, they're trying to, you know, build those networks. And there are some consultants that do estimates, but it's very much a proxy, right? They have other indicators that they measure that can feed into their best approximation of greenhouse gas emissions. So, yeah, so we need to think about this one. Okay, find out ways that our building inspection department can advance and even enforce priorities. So this is about the integration of climate change thinking. Can someone remind me what we were looking at here? Was it green building standards?
That would be my thought.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I almost want to add that up to that first section where we were talking about researching legal mechanisms.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's yeah. Like, what are our tools? What tools do we have?
Yeah.
Are we talking just about building inspection or more broadly planning?
Mm-hmm. Well, the previous one, which is about legal tools, mm-hmm. That's more the planning side, right? Because, you know, most of the permits that are issued are building permits, and those just go to the building inspection department. But why don't we just update that? So planning, inspection, and planning, right? So that those are both covered off. I think we'll need to be a little more specific on the priorities. So it says find ways that our building inspection planning department can advance and even enforce priorities. It's kind of vague to me. Are there specific aspects of the priorities? We'll take that as a rhetorical question because I'm not hearing anything. And like I said, I'm not seeing your visual cues because I'm typing on a document, and if it's silent, I'm not getting anything. Okay, next one, add natural assets to our asset management system to determine the impact a project has on our natural assets and the cost value to the community. So we did add that up above.
Yeah.
Under 5, valuing the natural system, but yeah, so those two probably, we could probably connect those two into a single recommendation.
I think so, yeah. It's broader than just underwater.
Yeah, that's right. And not just, this is, objective 9 is future planning. So we don't want to restrict it to some far off future thing, right?
Right. Yeah, it's very much a today tool.
Yeah, it's a today thing.
Okay. All right. Move that up.
Is that being done to some extent already? I seem to recall there was a commitment to that.
It is. So the OCP says that we will integrate, or that we'll begin to value natural assets using the same methodology as more traditional accounting. So that's in there. Also, our asset management strategy does speak to the valuation of natural assets. But there's a lot of discussion still to be had in terms of how that's done. Mm-hmm. And you see a huge variation among other communities in what they value and how they value it. Right? Uh-huh. So there's no right answer. Everybody's kind of making it up as they go right now because, you know, how do you value a stream? Like there's what we consider to be kind of best practices. But there's no defined methodology. So the way that Gibson's does it is not the same way that North Vancouver does it, is not the same way that, right? So it's moving in more of a direction of standardization, but there's still a lot of work to be done.
So is there room for a recommendation around that then, in terms of standardizing?
I think so. I think there is. Yeah. Because if the committee thinks it's a priority, right, so
yeah,
then it should be moved to the front. So
right.
So I think, Adam, today we're going to have a list of things, and it's actually a long list of fairly meaningful, you know, very important things, right? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a challenge to prioritize them, but I think that that's going to be the most useful thing to council, right?
Yeah.
Like, instead of saying these are our favorite 25 projects for you to do, is, you know, trimming it down and saying, here's your five focus areas that we'd recommend coming out of the plan.
Right.
Yeah.
With respect to natural asset evaluation, I'm just thinking back to in the 1990s, I participated in broad-scale provincial land use plan, like the Vancouver Island Land Use Plan. And we, at that point, we talked about multiple accounts analysis was the buzzword at the time. So if you're trying to do cost-benefit analysis of, say, logging a watershed versus a wilderness area, you didn't try to convert everything to a common currency of dollars. You said, okay, here's the wildlife habitat, here's the stream water, here's the spiritual value of undisturbed wilderness, here's the timber, here's the jobs, et cetera, et cetera. You didn't try to convert it all to a common currency, but you had a format in which you could put them all on a particular analytical framework, and you could say, well, we would have more of this and less of that. And it would still prompt you to think about what you're losing and gaining without the sort of artificial mechanism of saying, okay, this stream is worth $283,000 or something. Mm-hmm. It's kind of meaningless by trying to put a dollar value on a natural asset.
Hmm. That sounds interesting, Doug. Do you have a link to that? Because I think that is the stumbling block, is, you know, we're trying to turn things into financial currency.
Yeah.
Parallel, but they're not.
Mostly all this stuff happened before the internet existed. But I'll just make a note on my piece of paper here, multiple counts analysis, and maybe I can find out a little bit more about it online.
Okay, I'm just making a note of that too. Okay, multiple accounts analysis. Okay, we're getting close to the end. Public education. Create community cohesion by encouraging people to be involved, even at just an education level. So I think we can knit that together with some of the other public education items. And then the final one is ensure that we're addressing not just adaptation, but mitigation. So, Doug, this gets back to your original point that, you know, we need to make sure that's not lost. And if the committee in the next meeting wants to refocus and make a recommendation and say, here's all the adaptation stuff you should do, but remember, you know, our first priority should be X, right? So we can maybe tackle that in the next meeting.
Great.
Okay, we made it through all these. Wow. I actually didn't think we were going to make it, so well done, everyone. It's mostly due to Lena. Thanks for all your hard work. Now she smiled. She's listening. Good to have you with us. Okay, so I will hand it back to Councillor Skipsey, and you can bring it home, but we'll try to put together some documents to review prior to the next meeting.
If you were mentioning that we would look at making a recommendation on the five most important elements or the focus areas, is that something you think needs to be done after we look at that list, or is that something that we want to pick at today?
I think maybe we should look at the list first. Because there's going to be some items that are consolidated, you know, that span different items here.
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to be a shorter list next time we see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just mention some of the things that came up that I jotted down are public education, budget and funding, valuation of natural assets, monitoring, integration. I mean, those are just some of the catchwords, obviously we'll go into more detail.
Yeah.
And there may be other ones that appear as the higher priority.
Yeah, no, that's useful. Because those are the type of umbrella categories that we're probably going to look at, right, to make it a little more streamlined. So.
Yeah.
Oh, and Councillor Skip, you wanted to talk about the timing of the next meeting, right? Because we did have a meeting penciled in, and it's right in the height of summer. People may choose to, you know, go to the lake instead of attend our meeting. And
the next one was scheduled for August 22nd. So does that give staff enough time to turn this around? Are people available? I think we were shooting for maybe a council meeting that week, so I will probably be around.
Then I will also be around.
I will be around. David, too?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, Greg?
Yeah, I think I'll be able to join again from Luskidi, but that just saves you having to look at me, so it's not a bad thing.
Well, let's try for it and see if we can make it happen.
Okay.
Right. Just because we've come so far, I feel like it'd be nice to get it done before the end of the term, at least recommendations to council. So. Okay, so we've done the business arising from the minutes, and then recommendations from council. These were to be deferred until completion of the climate change adaptation plan review. I did want to mention, though, that B is climate emergency declaration and its potential actions. For information, that council refers the topic of climate change mitigation to the Select Committee on Environment and Sustainability for recommendations for climate mitigation actions. So,
There we go.
So maybe that would be a good segue from this plan or into this plan or something. I did want to mention there is a notice of motion on the agenda Thursday to declare a climate emergency. So we'll see what happens with that. Okay, status and recommendations to council. There wasn't anything listed there. New business. Does anybody have any new business? There was something that came up, and I wanted to see what the committee thought. I received an email from a resident who has done solar panels, has an electric car, had let me know that their hydro bill for last year was $51, and they would be happy to show their, solar and power wall installations to anybody who was interested. And I didn't know whether there were members of this committee that would be interested in going and having a look and maybe a bit of a field trip. I was hoping to go out and see. So does that sound of interest to anyone else on the committee? Karen, you look interested. David?
Yep.
Yeah. And Greg? Okay, well, maybe we can see if we can find a date that works for this resident. And I thought it might be something in public education that we could use as an example of what a resident in Fulton Beach is doing and how it works and how this person made it work. Apparently, this is a senior on a limited fixed income, and you know, they were able to put this together, and they're quite pleased. They were anxious that we as a town aren't doing as much as they thought we could be. So, anyway, I will keep in touch with people and see if we can set up a date that works. Future agenda items and discussion. Does anybody have anything? Okay, well then I guess we're at adjournment. Motion to adjourn. David?
Yeah.
Okay, that's us adjourned almost exactly an hour. Wow.
Okay. Well done, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah.
And we'll see you all in the 22nd, and I will be in touch about the field trip.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.